Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It is Thursday, August 20th. Good morning to you wherever you are and wherever you're listening. We thank you so much for joining us. Before we get into the show, we want to remind you of our title sponsor, RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com today and let them know that Locked On sent you. Obviously, it is NBA lottery day, and it's going to be, you know, this is a pretty big day for the Grizzlies. As we mentioned yesterday, the lottery over the past 2 years has been a huge event. For the Grizzlies, a very successful back-to-back years when it comes to the lottery, in which, you know, we've got, you know, the core of our future as a result. This year, it's going to be quick and simple. When the NBA draft lottery comes on at 7:30, obviously it'll take a little bit of time for them to go through all their presentations, but when that first team card is raised up for the number 14 pick, if it's the Grizzlies, that means that we don't have a first-round pick this year as of now, and we have our pick in 2021 without restrictions. If that card, the first-team card that is raised up, is someone other than the Grizzlies, well, then tonight becomes much more important and much more impactful on the present and future of the Grizzlies, because then that means that we have a top-four pick in this draft, and obviously that changes the offseason outlook significantly with the Grizzlies gaining an asset, you know, in the present. So, you know, pretty big night for Grizzlies fans, and so it should be an exciting night. I was lucky enough yesterday to share with you part one of my interview with Chip Williams and Asudu Upadeya in regards to the draft lottery and this year's draft. In part two, we're going to discuss a little bit more about a few names that could make sense for the Grizzlies if they were to land a top four pick, plus a few Memphis Tigers that are in the draft. You know, how could their futures be impacted by how things play out tonight? It's going to be exciting to see. So enjoy this part two of the interview with Chip Williams and Asudu Upadeya, and we will talk to you soon again here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.
And Chip, I'll ask you this question. You know, you mentioned Anthony Edwards and Killian Hayes. It seems like skill-wise, those guys definitely have it. But in terms of, you know, another guy that you were talking about, off-ball creation with the Grizzlies, we've talked about it. He has a last name that a lot of people recognize, and that's LaMelo Ball. I know that there is a lot of potential, that the sky's the limit in a lot of different skill sets for LaMelo Ball. Some of your more stats-producing skills are still developing for Ball, but when it comes to him, And his type of fit next to Ja, I know a lot of people, you know, just like the name, that star power with that. You know, is that a fit for the Grizzlies? And do you think this front office would pursue that with, you know, just such a tool set there with Ball to really mold it into something that can create just a very unique and very ultra-talented backcourt? Could Ball be an option if the Grizzlies did have the chance to pick him?
Absolutely. And I think it's an option that they would consider very seriously. I mean, obviously, you know, these guys are going to do their homework and then some. I think the best tool that you can draft straight away in this year's draft is the creativity, the passing of LaMelo Ball. It's just not something you can teach. It's innate within him that he has developed over time, that I guess to some degree he was probably born with it, and watching his older brothers play, he's probably learned a lot from that, and he is just so advanced. But he does have a lot of ways to go, long way to go. Defensively, his shot's got to come around. The finishing's okay. He's raw in a lot of areas, but the foundation you're working with, the creativity, the dribbling, the passing, that's a great base to work with to try to then build out from there, because you can really improve shooting. You can improve defense through effort and a few tweaks, and you can improve finishing around the rim as his body continues to get stronger and fill out with age. So, yeah, I do think that he could absolutely play next to Ja. I think that you may run into some spacing issues early, especially if the shot really struggles to get off the ground the first couple of years. But the creativity going next to Ja would be a lot of fun. I mean, the alley-oops this guy would throw to Brandon and to Ja and to Jaren, it would be showtime. It's already showtime. But, man, it would be taken up to another level with the amount of creativity and savvy that guy brings to a basketball court.
And Sudo, I ask you this question. Another name is with the Grizzlies. They have a 2.4% chance to get in the top four, but their biggest chance besides number four, you know, is a 0.7% chance to land the fourth pick. A popular name there is from Israel, Denny Abdeja. You know, when it comes to him, it seems like that a lot of people look at him for his, you know, that I don't really want to say it, more that foreign European style. There's some savviness there with his scoring. You know, I think one of the, you know, big areas that Tankathon ranked him high in was effective field goal percentage. Not necessarily a long-range shooter, but just a guy who knows how to score from different levels. That's something the Grizzlies certainly could use. Do you feel that he is a fit? I know that, you know, as we're getting closer to the lottery, he's becoming a popular name around some minds in Memphis for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, so funny story. Chip and I actually just broke Denny Abdeja down pretty recently. You'll hear it soon on a podcast that we do together. But Denny, I don't understand the hype around Denny. I think there's a lot of raw potential there, but I think there's a lot of stuff he hasn't proven yet. There's no consistency in any part of his game. He's kind of a jack of all trades, can do a lot of different things. But at the end of the day, there's nothing that stands out to me that says – if you have a top four, top five pick, you should take Denny Abdeja. I think he's somebody you could take, you know, in the teens, maybe in the early 20s to basically say, look, we have enough pieces. We're going to take a chance on this guy and see what we can make of him. But if you're the Grizzlies and you're looking for someone to come in and provide something for you immediately, I think Denny's too much of a project. I'm not saying that he can't develop into a good NBA starter, but I think for a team like the Grizzlies that are young and that are excited and they're just a couple pieces away from being that young, pesky team that can get into the playoffs and maybe shock somebody, I don't think Denny Abdeja is the answer there. So I would go strongly against that. I mean, you know, there's tons of other guys, like, regardless of position, that could come in and help Memphis in some way. Like, there's a guy like Onyeka Okongwu, which doesn't make too much sense given what they have. But, Chip, could you imagine, I mean, if you added a guy like that to that lineup? Like, there's so many other names that I think would be better than Denny Abdeja.
Yeah, no, Onyeka was one that I considered. He would be pretty high. Like, if the Grizzlies got the fourth pick, Onyeka is very much in play because he's kind of the perfect fit next to Jaren, and he truly unlocks that next level of having two very large guys down there and still being able to switch defensively. So, it's, you know, the center position is not one that is coveted as it once was, which is why James Wiseman is you know, been pushed down a little bit, and why some guys in recent past have not been drafted as high as they would have been had the pace and space game not taken over. But I think, you know, at some point, I mean, he's going to be very high on a lot of people's boards. And it wouldn't shock me. I mean, if they get the fourth pick, all of a sudden they end up with Onyeka Okongwu, you can do a whole lot worse than that.
What we're going to do is we're going to take our another quick break, and we're going to come back. We've talked about the Grizzlies, but this draft compared to others has one other factor in it, a very big Tigers presence. We're going to talk with Sudo and Chip about some Tiger names, see how they could possibly show up in the lottery.
The NBA Draft Lottery is Thursday night, and Locked On NBA's Jake Madison and John Carolus will have live reactions on Locked On Live. Follow Locked On Live on Twitter, Facebook, or Twitch at Locked On Live and get notified as soon as they go live with the reaction to the 2020 NBA Draft Lottery. If you're a Locked On Podcast Network listener, we know that you like to come to your favorite Locked On Podcast Network shows to get the latest news and updates on your favorite teams. Well, we've got another exciting news source to tell you about. Start your morning with the news that matters most in just 10 minutes. Axios Today host Nayala Boodoo and a team of award-winning journalists will bring you the latest analysis and insights into the trends shaping our world. Check out Axios Today. The summer is in full swing. The heat is here, and you and your family are probably on the go more often than you have been recently, so it's the most inopportune times for car parts or for car repairs to come up. But of course, as we all know, that's exactly what happens. Well, if you're someone like me, I'm not one that can sit there and repair my car, but I at least know to go where to get the parts that I need, and that's rockauto.com. And for several reasons. For one, rockauto.com is easy to use. Within a few clicks of the button, I'll have exactly what I need and be good to go. It also is very reliable. It's going to likely have any part that you need for most make and models that you might have. And no matter your experience, if you're someone that does it yourself, someone who needs to get someone else to do the repairs, or you do car repairs for a living, rockauto.com is a great source because it's very cost effective. This is a family-owned business. They know car repairs are something that a lot of times are out of budget, so they want to make sure that the prices stay within budget as much as possible. When you go to rockauto.com, let them know that the Locked On podcast sent you. Rockauto.com, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the car parts you will ever need. Visit rockauto.com today.
Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Again, thanks so much to Chip Williams and Sudhu Upadhyaya for joining us. So, Sudhu, I want to ask you this question. James Wiseman, Grizzlies are there wanting, you know, the Grizzlies are there with the pick. You know, Chip was just talking about before the last break, it'd be great to have two big bodies. But there's one thing, you know, it seems like that there may be bigger needs out there for the Grizzlies. That connection, Wiseman with the Grizzlies, or just in general, a team out there, is Wiseman truly a top three pick in this draft, or are there legitimate concerns that could lead to him falling?
I think there are legitimate concerns, but I also think that he's had so much hype around him for so long, you know, and rightfully so, that he will probably be a top three pick. As far as the Grizzlies go, I mean, I think it would be very exciting to see a guy like James back in Memphis, especially since he didn't get to play there really, you know, at least for the Tigers. But it doesn't make much sense to me. You know, if the Grizzlies somehow landed, I mean, despite the probability, landed in that first pick selection, I would think that front office would, you know, say, okay, there are other guys that are better at their position and that can probably give us something right away more than James. But at the same time, the raw athleticism James Wiseman has and what he can provide for you really on the defensive end. I'm not even really talking about what James can do on the offensive end, really on the defensive end as a rim protector. Like Chip kind of said, you know, yeah, if you wanted that second big man that could really put you over and you're going to play like that, then it would be tremendous. And I'm here for the Ja to James alley-oops all day. I mean, those would be super, super exciting, I think. But in terms of your roster makeup and kind of building your team, I don't think it really makes that much sense for the Grizzlies to take them.
And Chip, I'll ask this question then. So, you know, when you go to Tankathon and you do these, you know, mock drafts, you look at mock drafts in general, it seems like that Wiseman is a top three pick. Seems like a good fit for Golden State, potentially Cleveland, things such as that. What team do you think landing in the top spot would give Wiseman the best chance to go number one? And of those potential four or five teams that are had the best odds to get in the top five, what team does Wiseman fit the best for? That may be different teams. It may be the same team. But your thoughts on those different scenarios?
That's a good question. I think if – man, wow. Detroit would make some sense maybe if they ended up with the number one pick. They actually just got rid of Andre Drummond. I was looking at Cleveland, but they actually were the ones who traded for Andre Drummond, so it might not make too much sense to have both those guys. I think Detroit, New York, you know, the Knicks, they already have Mitchell Robinson, who I'm a big fan of. But, you know, New York, they're always looking for, you know, a name, a big name. And certainly here, LaMelo Ball would make a lot of sense there. I do think Golden State makes a little bit of sense. I think for Wiseman, the most important thing for him is going to a team that is okay with him taking a few years to really develop and really figure out his way around the NBA, because there is a lot of raw stuff there to work with, but he's got a long ways to go in terms of being a really, really impactful NBA player. I'm probably on the lower end of Wiseman than a lot of people, but yeah, I actually agree with what both of you said, that I think there's a very, very good chance that he ends up in the top three, and it's certainly not out of the question that he goes number one overall. So it's going to be a good night. You know, if you're a Memphis Tiger fan, I think you've got a great shot of two guys going in the lottery, and certainly maybe even two guys going in the top 10. But it would surprise me if Wiseman slipped out of the top five a little bit. Although, you know, if I was drafting, I might steer people away from Wiseman in the top five. And then, you know, after that, somewhere in later on, 7, 8, 9, 10 and into the teens, no problem at all. I think you're getting good value there. But just in terms of a center, the center position in general, it's just not as valuable as what it once was. And the type of things that people want centers to do now to be able to stay on the court in playoff situations, it's going to take Wiseman some developing to be able to do those things.
So, Sudu, turning our attention to Precious Achiuwa, you know, with him, you've seen a range in the late, you know, the 8 to 14 range is kind of what I'm seeing mock draft-wise. I know ESPN just released their latest mock draft today. He was taken number 8. You could see two Memphis Tigers, you know, or at least two Memphis Tiger recruits that played games for them in the top 10. How likely do you think that is, and what team or teams does Precious really come into play for if they were to land in the back half of the top 10?
Yeah, I think it makes sense to, you know, kind of expect that a little bit. I could see, you know, somebody taking Precious in the top 10 just based off of, once again, raw athleticism, kind of what you may be able to mold him into. But I think that him being older is actually going to hurt him. And we've seen this time in and time out in the NBA draft. Older guys tend to be taken lower than guys that are younger and that have a little more time to, whether that's grow or just develop into their bodies and all kinds of stuff. So I do think Precious, just kind of the way his season went. I mean, he had a great season. I'm not trying to knock him, but I don't think he just was as dominant as maybe some expected. And his age will kind of lend him to being picked maybe in the teens. I don't really think the top 10. And, you know, it's funny. If you look at Tankathon, no matter how many times you sim, Precious to Boston seems to be very much
agreed.
Kind of the thing, right? Like, the probability wise, it seems pretty high. I've looked at multiple different ones, and I pretty much always get Precious to Boston at number 14. And that's kind of, I think, the perfect spot for him. You know, the top 12, top 14, top 15. If he fell outside of the top 15, I'd be a little surprised, but I wouldn't say it can't happen. So, you know, as far as teams go, I mean, you know, there's a ton of teams that could use a big man like Precious. You know, you just kind of, I guess, look around, you know, I guess Denver could use him. You know, obviously we've already mentioned Boston. I'm trying to think here. I think Toronto could use a guy like Precious, maybe to come off the bench early on. I mean, and even Golden State, like, if Hedy had a better season, I think if his stock was higher, so you'd probably see a lot more projections to Golden State as well. So there's really a lot of teams that could use him. I just don't know what Precious is going to do early in his career. Like, I don't know how effective he's going to be right away at the next level.
And that's the thing that I'll say, you know, when you talk, you know, the Grizzlies talking about these older guys who, you know, that may be something that works against them, but also, you know, just their skill set, you know, looking at it, the Grizzlies landed the perfect guy in the 2019 draft in Brandon Clark. But I don't know if that's a fair comparison for Precious, Chip, because it seems like that Brandon Clark was much more, I won't say much more advanced, but he was more set with what worked for him, while Precious is more still of kind of a project type talent. When it comes to Precious, do you see, though, the comparison to an older prospect who could potentially fall to where he is a steal if he gets into the middle teens or later in this draft, and Clark did for the Grizzlies last year?
Yeah, no, I think that there's certainly a point that Precious could slip to where you're getting a lot of value. I actually think I can't believe the Spurs guy didn't say it. I actually, in my opinion, the best landing spot for Precious Achiuwa would be in San Antonio. I think he's one of the most fit dependent prospects in this draft because he's going to take time to develop. But I think early on, right away, you can kind of unleash him as a defensive stopper. I mean, that can be really his calling card early on in his career, as he develops into what he's going to be on the offensive end, whether that's, you know, really working on his ball handling and being able to create more, or working on some stuff around the basket, being able to finish quickly, you know, in the pick and roll or whatever. But I think that early on, I mean, you could have a real weapon, a guy that's 6'9", long, quick on his feet and can stop people, stay in front of them, has some strength to be able to guard guys in the post. So I actually think that getting him into a system like San Antonio, where they can really work and develop and maximize that potential, would be really good for Precious. I mean, it'd be great for him. But yeah, I do think that there's some people who are probably a little more down on him maybe than they should be. And then I think there's plenty of people, too, who also think he's a little bit better than maybe he actually is. So the truth is probably somewhere right in the middle. He's probably a late lottery guy, and could even see him slipping a little bit further in the teens. But if you get this guy in the 20s, I think you got to feel really good about the value you got, much like the Grizzlies did when they took Brandon Clark, who, you know, we can do a whole podcast on Brandon Clark. He finished third on my board last year. And ended up at the 21st pick. But, yeah, I do think that there is a scenario where if he slips far enough, I mean, you got to feel good to get that level of athlete and that much, I think, range to be able to work with in terms of what he can be as a finished product.
Chip, that's funny. So I kind of do agree, like a Spurs type of system where maybe he's pretty much told this is exactly your role, this is what you do, this is how you go about it, would work for him. But The amount of questions around Precious really makes me nervous in terms of my team taking him. You know what I mean? And I think that's why I think if you do get him in the 20s, he's a steal. But I think in the kind of lower teens is probably where you would put him, no?
Yeah. No, I think he's probably a late lottery guy.
Yeah. It just kind of gives that off. And there's a lot to work on in terms of, you know, just ball handling, being, you know, somewhat of a playmaker on offense. I mean, just – you know, being more than that guy, I guess, on that can give you something on defense and kind of getting more consistency. And do you remember his free throw percentage? Because I know it started out well, but it ended up as the season went on being not as great. It was a little worse.
It's not good. Yeah, no, it is not good at all. There's a lot. He's got a long, long way to go on the offensive end. But like I said, I really do think, like, day one, he's a pretty good defensive player. And you can't say that about really anybody that comes in the NBA. Yeah, he's a 59.9% three-point shooter. So that's not great. That's never, you know, you want that to be a whole lot higher to be able to project a guy as a good shooter at the next level.
Over the past few months, while you've been at home more often than usual, it's probably seemed like chores are never ending. You, between the never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you got plenty on your to-do list. And in the past, you would, you know, and you and your family would go to restaurants, so you wouldn't have to worry about supper. Well, you know, now, unfortunately, while you did rely on them in the past, restaurants aren't available like they used to be, and they're now more reliant on you. And that while they are relying on you, their dining rooms are open, not to go in and sit in, but for delivery. And a great way to utilize that is DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food that you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with our new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you could support your local go-tos to choose from your favorite choose from your favorite national restaurants like Wendy's and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off your delivery and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
And the Tankathon and a lot of other places do have him as having some of the best defensive potential, you know, in this draft. Sudo, I will say, I will ask you this question. You're a Spurs fan. With it being a Locked On Grizzlies podcast, that's a very interesting topic because you're the Spurs, you cheer for the Spurs. The Spurs are one of those teams that have, you know, potentially one of the, you know, widest range of outcomes as to what they'll do with their draft pick. They're on both ends. Much better chance they're at the late in the lottery, but can still get to the top of it. But the Spurs, do you feel that they're picking to potentially start, you know, I don't want to call it a rebuild, but they're right there, it seems. Or do you think they may use this pick to try to bring in another noteworthy, already in the NBA talent? You know, what direction do you see them going based off where they land in the lottery? Because it could go a lot of different directions.
I think they're picking the pick. I think you've seen that they still are kind of going to use the older pieces they have, LaMarcus Aldridge, DeMar DeRozan, You know, they've brought in a guy like Rudy Gay, who has a, you know, as a role guy is pretty good, and he's been around the league. So they're going to use guys like that, and they're going to try to build a young core. And I think what their hope is to find the one guy that can be the anchor once again, the one you put everything with, and then you'll have all these other great pieces to sort of, you know, work with him and already be developed. You've seen the way that they've, you know, had drafted guys like Derek White and just kind of later in the draft, Lonnie Walker, that was kind of in the teens, lower 20s. Which some of these really talented guys that may have had a couple knocks here and there that kind of maybe flew under the radar. And they've been building a pretty good team there in terms of getting the pieces. Now it's about getting star. So if I'm a Spurs guy, you know, Killian Hayes, to me, he's the top guy in the draft. I'm going to say that really any team that can use a playmaker like Killian Hayes is going to benefit. Obviously, we've already mentioned Devin Vassell. I think he'd be pretty great. Vanderbilt's Aaron Nesmith, I think, is someone that would fit. Precious Achiuwa, if he pans out, especially on the offensive end, would be great. So, you know, players like that. But obviously my hope is they're up high somewhere and the other teams skip out on Killian Hayes, because I think he would be a game changer in San Antonio and really anywhere he goes.
It seems like he's right up the alley of a Greg Popovich-type player. Y'all are comparing him to Manu Ginobili. You know, he's got the foreign aspect to his game, knows the NBA, grew up around the NBA. You know, seems like a pretty good fit for the Spurs. Chip, I'll ask you this question. Another name known in Memphis and, you know, would be there potentially if Memphis had kept this pick, but R.J. Hampton seems like a middle teens guy as far as a lot of projected drafts. Obviously, he went over to Australia like LaMelo Ball and a few others. But, you know, your take on him, you know, it definitely seemed like Memphis was hoping he could be added to their core that they had last year. But, you know, now he's going to be in the draft. It seems like there's a lot of potential there. You know, could he be a late lottery steal in the right situation?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's certainly possible. He obviously went overseas. It didn't go as great as he hoped. But there were some good aspects. I mean, the first thing when you watch him play, he's an unbelievable athlete. He's just silky smooth, explosive, can really jump, has decent shooting form, something that maybe is a little bit projectable down the road as a solid shooter. The one thing you love, and actually we've talked about it on our pod all the time. But one thing that you look at is their steal percentage, whether it's in college or AAU or even some of these higher level pro leagues, the guys who have a really unusually high steal percentage, like a 2.5 and higher, a lot of times you'll see they end up being really good NBA players, just because it to have a high steal percentage, you have to have a good feel for the game. You have to be a good athlete. And you combine those two things and you usually get a pretty good high-level basketball player. And so RJ Hampton's was extremely high in AAU, and he went over to Australia, and it was, again, it was off the charts. It was a 2.76, which is well above that 2.5 threshold that scouts really look for. So I think that there's some stuff that you really like. He's got a long way to go. I think his body needs to develop. He needs to develop a more consistent handle. Creating is going to be, I think, tough for him. I think defense initially is going to be tough, though he's got the tools to end up being a pretty good player on that end. But I don't know. A steal, hard to say. I think that, you know, could he turn into a useful NBA player? Yeah, I definitely think that. But I don't know if, you know, we're going to look at and all of a sudden he's the 17th pick and he's a 5-time All-Star. I think that would surprise me quite a bit.
I mean, if you want to look at it, you know, and it's not just that they have to be, you know, you talk about All-Stars, but, you know, the NBA is such about finding the right players for a system to become effective role players. Look at what the Grizzlies had in D'Anthony Melton. 4% in his college year, you know, at 4% steal percentage, that right there proves the point that if you can find someone with that type of awareness, you know, it's great. So what we'll do to wrap up here is just, you know, Sudo, I'll come to you first as far as the lottery goes. Just a prediction of something crazy you might like to see happen. A team that, you know, you would love to see finally land that one or two top spot maybe. Would you like for it to go chalk? What are a couple of things you really would like to see that would be very interesting, you know, to make this draft that many think may be down in talent, to make it more exciting? How could you see the lottery play out to make it more exciting, you know, come October when the draft happens?
I think first and foremost, this may be something kind of, I don't know, out of the ordinary for me to say this, but I think if the Charlotte Hornets somehow move into one of the top spots, I would be very intrigued to see who they get, because they have a lot of young talent there right now. But if you were to add someone really, you know, that could just come and sort of be the leader of that young group there, I think that would be very exciting to see. And Charlotte's that team that I just kind of look at with all the guys that they have, and I'm like, I feel like they can take that next step, but they're just a player or two away. So that, like I said, it may be kind of unconventional. I don't know if anybody's thinking much about the Hornets, but I definitely have kind of watched their, you know, just their team and what they're made up of, and in terms of the stars that they have that are young. And I think it'd be exciting to see. Outside of that, I mean, you know, just I think Golden State getting the first pick would really tell the story of you know, if a guy like James Wiseman is actually considered, you know, highly by the people in the league. Like, forever, I feel like everyone's talked about, you know, James Wiseman going to Golden State. So I really kind of – I mean, I know it's – most people would disagree with me because they're like, we don't want Golden State to get the first pick. And really, I don't either, right? But I would be intrigued to see if they got the first pick, if they take James Wiseman or not. I think that's something that really, truly intrigues me, because I think that'll kind of tell you more of the story of who James Wiseman is and, you know, if there are any red flags or any of that kind of stuff. And I think if a franchise like that takes him, then, you know, okay, he's definitely got something to.
And Chip, I'll ask you this question to the best of your ability, because obviously it's hard to predict this, but, you know, obviously we're living now in a world that's different from anything that's been there before with COVID. And, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty going forward for a lot of these organizations. There's not as many storylines that can lead to potential trade outcomes in the draft this year, I feel, than there was. There's no Anthony Davis type trades and things like that. Yeah, you've got names out there, and especially if Golden State lands a top pick. But do you think on lottery night, to where one of these teams that were in the bubble, like a New Orleans, a Memphis, a Phoenix, whatever it may be, do you think that, you know, if one of those teams lands in the top four, you could see more movement than maybe expected? Or if that doesn't happen, do you think there's going to be hardly any movement at all in the lottery? Do you think this could wind up being a draft where most teams stay home and pick based on all that's going on right now?
Yeah, that's interesting. I do think that, like, let's say the Grizzlies were to jump up in the top four. Let's say they get the second pick, and they're not enamored with anybody up there enough to where they are willing to listen to trade talks. Like, do they strongly consider going after a Bradley Beal? Are they like, this is our chance. We can get an all-star level wing, and we start our clock maybe a little bit earlier than we thought, but we were also a little bit further ahead this year than we thought. So let's go get Brad Beal and see what we can put around, you know, these three or four guys now and see what happens. You know, I think it's the draft, man. We always have trades, you know, no matter what happens, there's always trades. It does not, as of right now, it doesn't seem like something that's going to be one of the more active draft nights. But I could certainly see plenty of trades taking place. I'll tell you, like the question you asked Sudo of who would be interesting if they won, or what do you want to see? I got to be honest. I want to see LaMelo Ball to the New York Knicks. I think that is a I don't know. Part of me wants to see it and part of me doesn't, because then, you know, that's all anyone's going to talk about forever, and maybe it gets insufferable after a while. But, I mean, it's just two massive – the most talked about, you know, a team and player in their respective leagues and drafts. So you got the guy with the last name, the brother, the dad, and then you got the franchise that has been, you know, so thirsty for any sort of star to come take them from the bottom and lead them. And could LaMelo be that guy? I don't know. It'd be fun to watch, though. I mean, that guy would have the spotlight on him from day one. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that would be interesting. And then Sudu, I want to call my shot on the Spurs pick. Are you ready for this? I don't even care where they land. Sudu picking.
Put it out there.
Aleksej Pokusevski. I completely butchered his name. Everybody just calls him Poku. He's 7 feet tall. He plays like a wing. He's this like rail thin guy from he's from Serbia. And he's got the most ridiculous skill you've ever seen for a 7-footer not named Kevin Durant.
I thought the first name was just Alex. I just thought it was like Alex, but with a J instead.
Aleksej. I don't know. I told you I butchered it. I'm just gonna call him Poku. So
I've never heard anyone call him by his full name. I haven't like watched an interview with that yet. So yeah, I guess it could be either one.
We're going Poku. That's Poku. Who it is. I don't care if the Spurs get the first pick or where, or if they land at the 11th, whatever. That's who they're getting. They're getting Poku, and Poku's going to be a 10-time NBA All-Star.
That makes a lot of sense, right? For the Spurs to get a guy who's, you know, who you don't even know, whose name you can't even pronounce, but yet he turns out to be one of the best players for his position. I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
I'm serious. Anybody that's listening to this podcast, when you get done, once this is over, go look him up on YouTube, and your jaw's going to hit the floor. He's maybe the most unique basketball player I've ever seen.
He's intriguing, for sure.
When Chip and Sudu have their ESPN podcast 10 years from now, because Chip called that Poku was a 10-time All-Star and he's on his 8th All-Star selection 10 years from now, remember it happened on Locked On Grizzlies. No, their names are Chip Williams and Sudu Upadeya, some of the best basketball minds when it comes to the draft prospects and things such as that. Guys, I number one want to thank y'all very much for taking the time to come on, but please let people know where they can find your work. I know that y'all do a podcast together. Y'all do some written work. Obviously, Sudu, you in Atlanta, you know, you do work with the Falcons as well. You know, what projects might y'all have coming up, and where can they find your work with it being draft season?
Tell them, Sue.
All right. I'm going first. All right. Gotcha. Yeah, man, definitely. So Chip and I are on a podcast, I Got Ball. It's a part of Pivot, which is a kind of multimedia brand I sort of started when I got to Atlanta. I just kind of wanted something outside of the work I do to express myself and sort of not have to answer for anyone or answer to anyone, rather, just sort of do my own thing. And Chip being Chip and the great basketball mind that he is and us being best friends, I mean, it was bound to happen. We were going to definitely do a basketball podcast. We actually did a podcast when we both worked at Channel 5. That had a very short run, but you know, this one hopefully we could keep going. And one of the things we've been doing is breaking down prospects, so that's kind of one of the main things going on. And obviously outside of that, just yeah, the work I do with Fox 5 covering the Atlanta Falcons here in Atlanta. It's a cool new opportunity I've been given, so trying to make the most out of it, trying to do some good work. And that's really it, man. That's kind of my life is you know, doing a lot of stuff with Pivot and my job and trying to be as socially distant as possible, I guess, given that COVID is going on, but still trying to find ways to get out and hang out with some people. So that's just kind of life right now.
They want to know where they can find your work. You don't have to give them a life update.
Hey, man.
You just got to tell them where to find your stuff.
At Sudu Upadeya on Twitter. Find me at Sudu TV on Instagram. That's really the two ways. You know what, Chip? I just wanted a more personal connection with Sean's audience. That's all.
We feel like we know you better now.
I love that.
We know you better.
Chip, but yeah, no. Chip, how about you, bud?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Chip Williams Jr., Chip Williams Jr. Yeah, I'm going to be – I said this last time, and I lied, but I'm keeping my word this time that I've got a lot of draft stuff. I've got a lot of stuff written about the draft, just none of it has been published yet. So – I feel like now that the lottery's here, I'm ready. I'm ready to make it happen. So nbadraft.blog is where you can find that stuff. And definitely listen to our podcast if you like basketball or you like the draft. We have a good time on there. So, Sean, thank you so much, man. This was a good time.
Hey, it was a pleasure, guys. Thank you so much. If y'all both stay for a second afterwards, I'll be glad. And I just wanted to wrap things up. We will try to get this combo back on, obviously, as we get closer to the draft, regardless of if the Grizzlies are in the lottery or not. They will have at least one pick in the second round, so we'll probably get Chip and Sudu back on if they're available. But we can't thank them enough for coming on. You see how well they are. You see why we love talking with them come around draft time. So, Chip and Sudu, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can follow the pod at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC on Twitter. Find us anywhere where podcasts are. Subscribe and listen. We'll talk to you here soon again on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.